Greetings in Christ Jesus and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Joe Nauman. I'm joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical and Vicar Drew Nauman. How are you guys doing today?
Very good.
Thank you. Great.
Wonderful. So today the vicar has a brief devotion prepared for us. Drew, would you like to take that away?
Sure. So the couple of verses that I thought we'd meditate on today come from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Verses 15 and 16. He, that is Jesus, said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I thought this would be a pretty pertinent message for our meditation today because there's a lot of different answers to that question of Jesus today, isn't there, in the world? Who do you say that Jesus is? And it's a really important question. There's a lot of people that say that Jesus was a really good person, that he was an excellent moral teacher and someone that should be emulated, but that he wasn't really God. And that's a problem, isn't it? Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," that he was truly God. And then if you go on, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and on this rock I will build my church." So the answer to the question, who is Jesus, either is ultimately nothing. If he's just a good teacher, that does not do us any good because we are still in our sinful flesh and can do nothing to rectify that situation. Or he is true God and true man, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who came, lived a perfect life, died an innocent death, and rose again on the third day. And on that confession, on that foundation, the church stands or falls. If we have that confession, everything else is taken care of. We are no longer in our sins. We are children of God and heirs of eternal life. But if it is founded on anything less than that, the house falls. So it's a very important question, one that I hope that you'll contemplate. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you say what he says he is in his word? God grant us the faith to confess with Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Joe, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. We read through this section a couple of weeks ago in our scripture reading two Sundays ago, I believe. And, you know, immediately following this, Peter, of course, then has that gaffe where he takes Jesus aside and says, you know, "Far be it from you, Lord, that you should suffer and die," and, you know, at the hands of the Pharisees and so forth. And Jesus needs to harshly rebuke Peter and tell him, you know, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man." You know, Peter, on the one hand, makes this bold confession, this strong confession that he is the Christ. But on the other hand, he has this misunderstanding of who and what the Christ is. So it's important not only for us to understand that Jesus is the Christ, as you say, but also to understand what that means that he's the Christ. And we need to look at the Christ not as mankind and not from a physically worldly standpoint, but the way that God sets the Christ up to be, not as some earthly ruler, not as someone who came to establish a kingdom here on earth, or even someone who is coming to establish a millennial reign. Christ came to establish a kingdom that is not of this world, as he told Pontius Pilate, and because of that, now you and I have reaped the benefits of the church, as you mentioned there.
Excellent. Thanks for that input. Neil, did you have anything else?
Yeah, two little thoughts. One, I really like the questions here that Jesus asking Peter, you know, "Who do you say that I am? Who does everyone say?" And, you know, coming back to the idea that Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" And so these questions are really pointed to how Jesus asks people. Really the question that you had said is he a liar, lunatic, or Lord? And Peter's definitely saying he is Lord. And he's got to be one of those three. And the second point really is focus on the resurrection and how that he proved who he said he was. He showed who it was. And then when we ask that question of ourselves or of our children or anyone else in the world, who is Jesus? He had that really evangelical approach. Well, he's the Lord of living and the dead. He's the one who's going to come and take us home. He's the one who silences all of our fears when we sing, you know, the three of us have sang, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And, you know, those last verses keep saying, "He lives to silence my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives my conqueror." You know, over and over, just here's what he's doing now that he lives. And then this is who our Jesus is.
Yeah, I like that you pointed that out. The I kind of focused on the foundation, and you focused on all the benefits that then are piled on top of that foundation. Because Jesus is who he says he is, the Christ, the Anointed One, then we get all of these other promises that we can have confidence in. You know, the Son of the Living God, am I a God far off or one near at hand? Well, he is near at hand. He's here to help us in every distress. He who delivered his own Son and gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So a lot of wonderful promises that can get stacked on top of this foundation. And so great thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Want to pray, Drew?
Sure. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the foundation and author of our faith, into the world to live that perfect life that we could not, and die the death that we deserve, suffer the hell that our actions warrant. We ask that you would keep us firmly founded on that foundation, so that we could be the house built on the solid rock, where when storms and waters came and beat against it, it did not fall because of that firm foundation. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us in our lives because of those gospel promises that you have promised us. And we ask that you would continue to preserve us both temporally and spiritually until you call us home to be with you in heaven at last. It is in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.
Thank you, Vicar. A couple of announcements as we get into our podcast today. We'd like to announce that tonight we'll be hosting an online Bible study once again. We're continuing to look at the book of the prophet Hosea, and Drew is continuing to lead us through that. Also, as things begin to open up, we are starting to hold some outdoor Bible studies in the community. You can check our website for that, but there's a number of different places. Water's Edge, Walnut Towers, Autumn Grace, there's a number of places that are Primrose, we're starting to get opportunities to worship. It all needs to be outdoors. Everyone needs to wear masks, but if you're looking for something like that, check out our website calendar. You can find that there and see some of the work and activities that we're starting to open up a little bit more. Also, wanted to get an update this weekend. The church sanctuary was painted. Pastor Radically want to update us on how that went and how it's doing.
Yeah, I want to thank for the 2 days, the 3 days we've done it now, the handful or so of volunteers put a lot of time and hours into that. And we were hoping to only do one coat, but it turned out with the satin finish that we needed two, and the material was so absorbent that we just needed to put more paint on there. The nice part is we're still well under budget from what the voters had budgeted, so that's good news. Praise the Lord for that. And we're hoping to wrap that up tomorrow, so all the painting should be done, which really leads into the voters meeting on Monday that you want to talk about a little bit, right?
Well, you want to let everybody know tomorrow people can come in and volunteer.
Yeah, for sure.
Tomorrow, July 23rd, what time?
Probably 8 to 11. We should wrap everything up. There's a lot of cleanup to do, too, so anyone who can come would be great.
Wonderful. And then you mentioned the voters meeting coming up, too?
Yes, that was the postponed voters meeting because of some of the leaders who couldn't be there that were running the meeting. We had postponed it a week, which works out pretty well. So I know one of the bigger items on that voters meeting, quarterly voters meeting agenda, would be to talk more about updates, not just for the sanctuary, but also some of the tuck pointing and some of those projects. So important voters meeting, which I believe is going to be Zoomed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an all Zoom meeting. Yeah.
So please do try to take part in that if you are able to, and we'll hopefully make some more decisions on what we're going to do further. So I do want to say from the Board of Property standpoint, they were saying that now is such a good time to work in the sanctuary because we're not meeting in there for the services. School's not going right now. So I guess I'm hopeful that we can do a little bit more updates while things are kind of torn apart in there. So, but we'll see how the voters decide.
Yep. And in connection with that, the sanctuary being torn apart, it's not as bad as it sounds. We are holding services in the MPF, multi-purpose facility, through the end of August. The deacons have decided, simply because we can't run the fan in the church, as you know, because of the virus. So we're holding services in there with the air conditioning running. So the it's quite a bit cooler, and everyone's been wearing masks as we've been asked to do. So that will continue going forward here through the end of August. I wanted to make an announcement about next week. Our Vacation Bible School is set to go live. It's a completely online VBS this year. Packets will be printed this weekend and can be picked up at church if you come Saturday or Sunday. But it's also completely available online. So the PDF will be sent out for you to download yourself if you don't want to pick up a paper copy. And then each day next week, Monday through Friday, a video will come out. The video will contain a Bible lesson. It will contain music. It will contain instructions for crafts and so forth for you and your family. I'm really hoping this Vacation Bible School can be a way for a family to come together briefly to study God's Word and to take a look at what God has to say about sickness. You know, all of our lives have been changed by this virus that's going around in our world, and to see what God has to say about sickness and where sickness came from and how God has power over sickness, how God uses sickness, and how we don't have to be afraid of it, and how eventually sickness will be done away with once and for all. It's a really important Bible study, I believe, for entire families. It's been created for little kids, but also has some engaging features for older children and for parents as well. So I hope everyone has the opportunity to go through this. Vicar Drew Nauman and myself have been working very hard on it, and I think it's going to be a good thing for us to take a look at as we consider the current state of our world. Also wanted to announce the Board of Ed met again last week, and they have decided to go forward with in-person planning for the 2020 and 2021 school year. So we're planning on meeting in person beginning on August 27th, which is the first school day. And so that's where we're working towards right now. Obviously next Monday, Governor Walz is going to come out with an announcement as to what he expects for the Minnesota schools for this coming school year. And we're hoping that he allows us to work according to the plans that we have laid. So we're going to work towards that. If we need to, we can use additional spaces like the gym and the church and the basement, so forth, in order to spread stuff out as we need to, if that is necessary. But we want to meet in person, and that is what we're planning to do. So praise the Lord that that's the decision we've came to, and we pray for his protection and guidance through the coming school year as well. This brings us to our doctrine of the day as we wrap up our podcast today. The doctrine we want to talk about today is kind of connected with the opening devotion we had. This doctrine is known as the natural knowledge of God. Would someone like to introduce this doctrine for us?
Well, there's two different knowledges. There's natural knowledge and revealed knowledge of God. Revealed knowledge might seem a little bit more simpler because it's simply what God's revealed to us through his holy word in the Bible. So in contrast to that, the natural knowledge of God would be what we can know about God without ever opening the Bible. So when we look at natural knowledge of God, I usually think of the two C's. We look at creation and God's design, and we look at conscience. So maybe if you guys want to each take one of those, that would be one way of touching on this particular doctrine.
Well, I talked quite a bit this past weekend in the service about the conscience, that God's law, his moral will for mankind, was engraved in three places on the stone tablets from Mount Sinai. It's recorded in Holy Scripture for us today, and it's also engraved on every man's heart. It's not a coincidence that everyone almost universally recognizes that murdering someone else is bad. That is something that God has put into each of our hearts to recognize what is right and what is wrong. Unfortunately, over time, and because of some pretty bad influences, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, some of that tends to get jaded, and we have trouble even recognizing that. So that's why it's so important for us to remain in God's Word, to kind of fact-check the way that we are feeling when we feel guilty, to know that, yes, this is a good guilt that God is using to bring us back to himself through his Word. So we have that conscience that he puts in us to help guide us into what we should be doing and away from what is not his will for us in our lives.
So that conscience is one aspect of the natural knowledge of God. The other is the creation. You know, sadly, the creation has been attributed to mankind, really, this humanistic evolutionary view. Believes that mankind has pulled himself up from his bootstraps, has gone from muck and mud to mankind, and that we went from single cell organism and through millions and billions of years of trial and error, now look how wonderful we are today. Really, when we look at the creation, we see that it should be attributed to God. As God makes very clear in the first two chapters of Genesis, he created everything that there is. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. As we look at the creation, it is obvious that there is a creator. As we look at how everything works together so perfectly, both here in our world and throughout the universe, it is clear to anyone who's studying to see that God is the one who made everything. Proverbs tells us the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And yet, sadly, there are so many fools out there who deny the existence of God and believe that they essentially created themselves. But God makes it clear that every house is built by someone. We read that in the book of Hebrews. And so when we look at the complexity of DNA, and we look at the complexity of the human body, of nature, of creation, it is obvious that there is a creator. And this is something that God did intentionally, so that when you walk outside on a starry night and see the heavens of God, when you see how big and how mighty and powerful the universe is, God wanted it to be absolutely clear to you, there is a design behind everything. There is an intelligent designer who worked and who formed and who made everything work together. Just think about how you breathe. You breathe oxygen and you breathe out carbon dioxide. How lucky is it that we live on a planet where there's billions and billions and trillions of trees that breathe in CO2 and breathe out oxygen? You know, everything fits and works together. There's no incomplete part of God's creation. And this is something that God did very intentionally and deliberately so that everyone may see and understand and know that there is a God and to seek and to find him. And this is what leads us to what we see all over the world, which is the plethora of world religions. There is no atheistic group of people in the world by nature. By nature, everyone seeks and finds a God. Even those who claim to be atheists really are making themselves gods. There is no a-religious society in the world. Everyone seeks and finds a God because God put that natural knowledge of God out there. So wherever you go, whether it's the Native Americans who worship the wind and the sun, or wherever you go all over the world, there are those who worship a God, multiple gods, whatever the case may be. And God put that in us so that we might seek and strive to find him. But as you mentioned before, Pastor Radical, it's the revealed knowledge of God that points us to who the true God is. And that brings us all the way back to your devotion today, Drew, in which we talked about how this confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, it is on this confession, which was not built by man, which has not come from the will of man, but rather comes from God, this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's what leads us from the natural knowledge of God, which is kind of a floating globular mass knowledge that doesn't do anything for us, really, to sharpen and precision it to understanding who this God is, what he's done for us, and how he saved us through his work. Any other thoughts to add on the natural knowledge of God there?
I don't think so.
Awesome. Awesome. So how about we close with a hymn today? Vicar Drew Nauman picked out a hymn which references that confession. You want to introduce that a little bit, Drew?
Sure. So I'm going to be reading today a few verses from hymn 467 from the Lutheran hymnal, Built on the Rock the Church Does Stand. And we kind of talked about that a little bit in the devotion, that this confession of Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the confession on which the church stands or falls. If it's there, it stands and it can't be conquered. If it's not there, it will fall. That much is sure. So we give thanks to God that we are founded on that rock. Built on the rock the church doth stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land, bells are still chiming and calling. Calling the young and old to rest, but above all the soul distressed, longing for rest everlasting. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. High above earth his temple stands, all earthly temples excelling. Yet he whom heavens cannot contain chose to abide on earth with men, built in our bodies his temple. We are God's house of living stones, builded for his habitation. He through baptismal grace us owns, heirs of his wondrous salvation. Were we but two his name to tell, yet he would deign on earth to dwell with all his grace and his favor. Amen.
Thank you, Drew, and thank you, listener, for joining us at Twin Steeples Podcast. We invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org, for more information on our church and school and the ongoing work in God's kingdom that we are doing there. Until next time, we pray God's richest blessings upon you, and always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.